a bit on how you felt during those first tumultuous years as president of the school board. Give us a bit of how you were thinking and how you were feeling and how you withstood this very dramatic change in what was going on.
Well, part of it, part of the help, first place, the superintendent. Second place, I had some superb board members to help me support. Richard Jones and Richard Tucker. And Bill Ray, to whom I could always turn. And if you just wondered what to do next, you could call on these people. Dick Tucker was a busy lawyer, but when you caught up with him, you could talk as if you were the only concern he had. He would put himself out unbelievably for help, and you could rely on the judgment of a very wise man. Dick Jones was a very conservative black, which gave me another angle on things. When we said about Dick Jones, he was very old-fashioned. He believed in good manners and good morals. And there was constant consultation. I could always count on these people for support. There were certainly times when I felt I was in beyond my depth. But with it all, the work of the schools went on. We did our planning on the for the great high schools in those days, even though the idea eventually founded, it had a strong influence on much that's happened in the school system and in school building. And no matter what the confusion or the disruption in the school system, and that's been true ever since, our Department of Education continued to function.
So that many bystanders in those days, as they watched what was happening with public reaction, as they watched the school board, many bystanders greatly admired your particular stamina in hanging in there in times of great turmoil.
Yes, I think they did, and expressed it, fortunately.
What do you base your strength, your particular strength, in not giving up and in withstanding this great deal of, I'm sure, mental and emotional and almost physical stress during those years?
The feeling that there was too much of a principle at stake, that we had to, after all, we were responsible for the education of some 70,000 children, and we had to keep that going. And that was our job.
So that
and the family support and encouragement.
So that you, would you say that any time during your tenure as president that you ever seriously, I'm sure fleetingly, but ever seriously considered the thought well, I'm just going to chuck the whole thing, it isn't worth all this?
I don't think so. I think a year before my term was up, I tried to persuade one of my vice presidents to take over, felt it might be better for the school board, but said no, so I hung on for another year.
How long is a term, Mrs. Aaron?
President? 1 year. Reorganization, 1 year at a time.
And you served until?
For 3 years, 66 to 69. House was picketed twice during that, at the time of the some of this community rumpus. We had an open meeting at Frick School, and I had word that they were coming to picket our house. I went over to my daughter's, and we came by here. We were first going to, Jim Meyer said he thought, oh, they're not serious about this, and came by, and there was a solid line across the driveway, front of the driveway. He said, you'd better come home with us. So we stayed there until I got word from Dr. Marland that they had left, who was monitoring it, which is part of his great personal consideration for people. And then we came home. And on Saturday, the following Saturday morning, this was at night, the following Saturday morning, the postman came and said, they are, there's some pickets coming down here, and some television cameras. And this was just before I wanted to go to Temple, so I got out of the house fast, got down to Temple, and telephoned Frank Bolden, who was in our public relations department, who lives right back of us. So he came up and took a look around to see what was going on and identified some of the ringleaders of this agitation, plus a few neighborhood kids going along for the fun. The reason they came that second time was to say, was because there'd been no television cameras to record it that night, and they wanted a picture. And they left me a placard about 2 feet long, Mrs. Aaron, it's your turn, that time now, resign.
How long before the end of your presidency was that?
That was, I think, in 68.
So it was well before...
A year and a half. Mm-hmm.
Okay, would you comment now on your relationship with the superintendent of schools during your tenure, and then go on to tell us how it went into the next president of the school board?
My relationships were wonderful. It was a complete give and take. It was different. Actually, in those 3 years, I had three superintendents, because Dr. Marlin resigned while I was still president. He has certain ideas about how long you can be effective in any one job, with which I don't agree. And also, he just couldn't bring himself to deal with the union. It was just too counter to his whole philosophy. But he and I set up monthly appointments so that for review of whatever was on either of our minds, but we were together constantly in between. After he was succeeded by Mr. McCormick, where our relationships there again were tops. He was on the phone even more than Dr. Marlin. First place, he wasn't out of town so much. Second place, I don't think he was quite as secure as an administrator. He was more anxious to clear things with me before he did them. But he was certainly, I think, one of the most beloved people that ever served here.
Wasn't that just an interim appointment?
No, he was elected superintendent, but his health failed. He only held the position for a year because he knew he wasn't up to it.
I see.
Physically. It was not, no, he would not have taken it as an acting superintendency. But Bernie McCormick came up to the school system. And no matter where you went, one of the happiest things I ever did as a president was to go to any kind of a community or educational function with him. Because wherever he went, there was somebody to greet him, who taught with him, who taught under him, who taught by him, been taught by him. And the light in the eyes of people who came up to greet him was something to behold.
Did you find during that 1 year that Dr. McCormick served as our superintendent that there was much change in the philosophy of running the school system?
No, he had been
Dr. Marlin.
Dr. Marlin's deputy with a complete... meeting of minds and spirit. And he was committed to carrying on Dr. Marlin's approach. Those two men just clicked superbly.
And how did Dr. McCormick handle the union?
He handled them. I don't recall now whether he had anything. Yes, we did have some ructions and had some long night sessions and all that, and he just wasn't physically equal to that kind of thing anymore. I don't know that he ever was. He was a sensitive person who took these things very much to heart, but he dealt with them, and but as I say, he was died within a year after his term was up, and wonderful, wonderful man. But we just went on working hand in glove.
Then after Dr. McCormick
came Dr. Kishkunas, who had been his deputy. And there we had a split board in the election, which was unfortunate. And
why?
Well, the blacks were trying to get wanted more commitment from him than he was willing to give. They wanted, and there was some pressure for a black superintendent, various things there. There was maneuvering, and one or two people who felt we should have a search committee again, and the rest of us felt that we couldn't afford the time, that he would not accept an acting superintendency. And those of us who had been on previous search committees knew you didn't do these things in 2 or 3 months. And we felt continuity was important. And I always think there were some people who thought I had put him over on the board. And I did not. I mean, what happened, actually, my procedure was to have called each member of my executive committee and to have said to them, Mr. McCormick is resigning for reasons of health. What is your reaction to Kishkunas? And every one of them said, we're lucky to have him. By all means, have him go ahead. Let's go ahead. So that we came to that meeting with the executive committee solidly in favor of Kishkunas.
And that's how many members out of the total?
Oh, about 4 or 5.
Out of a total of 15?
Yes.
Right.
And the two vice presidents and the two chairmen committees, there may have been an overlap on one position there, I think there was, and then I always included Bill Wright. So that there was very solid support, and again, we did not put it to the board as a recommendation. But these people were ready to speak to it and to support it. And then there was some bickering, and it was not a unanimous election, but
there was majority rule, however.
Oh yes, and it was a substantial majority. It wasn't I think it was 3 or 4 dissidents.
So therefore, your last year as president of the Pittsburgh School Board was carried on with Dr. Kishkunas as our superintendent.
The last half. Not from June to November.
Uh-huh. Could you comment to us on any changes in style or what remains as a highlight during that period?
Well, I think we worked very together very well. There wasn't anything too much that stood out there. He carried on. His chief problem was finding a deputy because he had more or less committed himself to the black community to try to find a black deputy. And he was having trouble. And
for what reason, do you know?
Well, chiefly because he wanted quality, and he wanted a person. The deputy superintendent is not the representative of another group. The deputy superintendent is the man who can act for the superintendent in the superintendent's absence with his complete approval and must share his philosophy. And I think there were people, I know there were people who could have had that job, who realized they would be the tool, who would be regarded as the representative of the black community, who could not have filled that job as a tool. And he interviewed, and he tried all over to get people, and he came close to some. But there was a lot of dissatisfaction in various places for his time. And he didn't limit it to the black. But he did a good job for the schools. He had a lot of following in the staff. He was not a tight administrator. And his mind went on big things. Sometimes on little things. He was not so always, didn't always follow through on detail. He needed somebody to support that, which is nothing wrong. I mean, some people do it themselves, and some people rely on an executive assistant to do some of these things, and he did. His he went a long way toward, I think, implementing the whole philosophy of individualization of instruction during his period.
In other words, that idea was beginning to be known across the United States, and he was quick to take up on the whole idea of individual instruction.
Yes, it was an outgrowth to some extent of Moreland's philosophy, but a great deal of it happened. The programs for the youngster who wasn't making it in school, for whom you perhaps needed a hand-tailored program, and who could stay up to a certain number of years to get a certificate, even if he could attempt to do that. And the starting of the open classroom came in his administration. It wasn't all his, by all means. I mean, those things were Dr. Molyneux's work, but he was receptive to these things and believed in them. And of course, his great contribution to Pittsburgh schools came before that in his complete revamping and modernizing of the vocational education.
So the vocational education revamping was certainly a strength of Dr. Kishkin's.
That had been his, yes, that was. But he was not limited to that. In fact, his background had been elementary education before he came to do that job. He had a good comprehension of the whole school system.
A number of times you have mentioned Dr. Mary Molyneux. Would you say that she's had a rather fine impact on the education of our Pittsburgh schools?
Tremendous. Quietly, unobtrusively, but no matter what happened on the outside, her department kept going on with fresh, creative ideas. She was always ready to look at something new and evaluate it honestly, try it out, reject it if it was no good.
So therefore, you would rate her as one of the real pluses.
Oh, absolutely.
Among staff in the Pittsburgh school system.
She retired last June, much to everybody's regret.
That's her title. Dr. Mary Molyneux's title was
Superintendent for Curriculum and Instruction. We've done so much reorganizing that these things have changed a great deal, these titles and whatnot.
Would you talk for a few minutes on what has happened since you stopped being president of the Pittsburgh School Board and bring us from that date, which is...
Well, of course, we've had a lot of things that gone on. I think we've accepted unions as a fact of life, although many of the things that some of us feared would happen have happened, and we just have to live with it. Things you feel you'd like to do, you can't do them. It's not in the contract. Or you have to keep this as a bargaining point. That's why I think shocked me almost more than anything else. When you know something that you ought to do for teachers, but if you just go ahead and do it, and you have nothing left in your bag for a bargaining session, and also they don't want you to have the credit for it. They wanted to come out of a bargaining session so that they get things that you could do quietly in solving personnel problems. Can't be done as they ought to be done. We've had that very clearly in an episode rather recently. A teacher had gotten into, I don't know, it's known in some communities around here, but teacher just could arouse such antagonism in the school, apparently has some strengths. And counseling could have been moved to another school very quietly to start fresh, a young teacher. And the union said, no, this has gotten to be such a community issue that to transfer her would be a slap in the face because everybody knows about it and the people think that they would have won and this would back up interference by parents in school system. We cannot permit this. So what's, I don't know, things still hanging by.
Could you tell us about the departure of Dr. Kishkunas and who came next as our superintendent of schools?
Well, our Dr. Kishkunas was the victim of some rather mean board maneuvering. And people who were out to get him, and rather unjustly, I think, and there was some were some things going on there that my husband said I came home one night so angry that he never saw me so close to resigning from the school board. I was just about ready to quit, and he told me to calm down. Well, I found out afterwards that that was the night that Dr. Kishkunas had notified the placement agency that he was available. And there's no point in going into the skullduggery that was going on. But he couldn't, in decency, have remained. In fact, no superintendent can remain without the complete support of his board. And then the Dr. Olson was appointed acting superintendent, and a search committee was established. Reviewed. I don't know. I was not a member of that committee. I would never have been a member of that committee because I was a known supporter of Dr. Kishkunas. And the committee recommended Dr. Olson.
He was elected in what year?
His election was in the fall of 73. I think it was around December 73.
And did you support that selection?
Yes, I was very much in favor of her if I had not been consulted.
And could you comment for us, since Dr. Olson has been with us since 73, what you think of his leadership so far?
Well, I think he has been listening rather hard to the current outcry against overloaded bureaucracy, which I do not believe that we have such an overloaded bureaucracy. I've seen too much of the way our top staff functions to believe they're just bench warmers. But that is the current cry. He has, and there are certainly people who are doing things that are not perhaps worthy of the salary they're getting, but I think there were other ways of going at it. But he has tightened up. He has put great stress on accountability, which is also the current fashion, on having the any administrator down the line being judged by the person above. He has restructured the whole system, creating a good deal of resentment, I think. Some of it not necessary. Some people felt they were demoted, hadn't really been, but I think that's beginning to work out. Fact is that we had, at the instigation of the people who were responsible for really beginning Kishkunas out, a survey by a management firm.
Government Studies
Systems.
Out of Philadelphia.
Out of Philadelphia.
Yes.
Who came in with a report that supporting the then organization of the three districts, but indicating if we were going to get better functioning, we would have to increase staff. And when Dr. Olson sat down to study it, he found it would take a great deal more staff. He thought you had to increase the administrative staff instead of decreasing it. And in order to carry that out, he could not have done it within the budget, so we swung over to the other procedure of tightening up administration, really getting more in control himself, and I say there were some people who were resentful. There were some people who just pitched into their new assignments just the way they did their old ones.
So that when this other alternative of government studies, one of their alternate suggestions was to go on a management by objective course of restructuring the staff at the Pittsburgh school systems, did the board members fully approve this choice, alternative choice, that Dr. Olson presented?
Well, I think when he presented it, well, I didn't approve of it. I went along with it because I felt that if he was going to do it, he'd better have the support of the board. But I was very reluctant. In committee, I voted against it. And when it came to the board, I went to him again. I just don't think you work against your superintendent unless you want to get rid of him. But I told him that I would vote for it, in spite of my misgivings, but I would like to make a statement at the board about my reluctance. And he said, go ahead. He appreciated the frankness.
And how did you give that statement about your reluctance?
Well, that I felt the other system was working and it could be strengthened, and that we could improve the other system, and I didn't think we gained a lot by rearranging things all the time.
All right, now that you've had a few months to view this restructuring, as you look into the future, do you think this will be functioning fairly well for our Pittsburgh school system?
I think so. I think in the end, you're going to have to put back more people. I think that whenever you, as soon as you start any system, there is no such thing as a perfect system. And as soon as you start it, you find weak spots, and you have to put in a new person here, or you have to create a position, or there's something you haven't covered. There are also positions that you feel that you don't need indefinitely. I feel very strongly that when you are launching a new program, and you put in somebody to head it, you should make that a temporary position in the system, so you don't get empires. I think a very good example is the Scholars Program. When we started the Scholars Program, we put in a director of scholars. I don't know that we need a single freewheeling director of scholars full-time to do scholars anymore. It was very necessary to start it. Same thing is true when you put in a instructional leader in a new school. Make it clear that it's only going to be for the starting years and then evaluate it, whether you need it. Otherwise, you go 1, 2, 3, you get a squawk, you're robbing us. We're going to be right up against this in Reisenstein. They're howling for an instructional leader on the staff community. I asked the principal at Greenway, where I was the other day, if you think it's necessary. He said, yes, I could have used one. I'd have been much better off. I had too many other things to do to be a real leader of instruction those first months. But don't let them think it's going to be part of their staff forever.
So you think that Reisenstein will have a temporary...
I don't know. That hasn't come up yet. I know what I'm going to be for.
Now, Dr. Olson recently has appointed a deputy superintendent.
Yes.
Do you care to comment on that choice?
I haven't had enough chance to judge his work. He's only been functioning a couple of months. He did appoint a black man with good educational qualifications, with good experience on community integration problems. But I've
and
had
his
no
name is?
Walker.
Dr. Curtis Walker.
And beyond meeting him personally, I'm in no position to judge. I've had no contact. I think he's busy learning.
So that as you look back over your years as president and as your years on the school board, do you see, as you look into the future, great changes occurring in how the school board will be asked to attack problems?
Well, we're certainly being asked to involve the community in ways we never have before, and that can be helpful if it's done right, and if we get the right people, and there are plenty of people who see their role as advisor. The trouble with your advisory groups is they get angry if you don't take every bit of their advice, and you can't always take. But I think you're having to be. The Sunshine Law has had some effect. I'm not quite sure. So far, it hasn't been very serious. I mean, we haven't had things brought out in the newspapers that shouldn't be yet. But, most of our committee meetings may have had a reporter, and the reporter who's been there has been a responsible one who does not rush into print for the sake of getting a good story. He gets his facts and he has a little sense about them. So, no, that isn't necessarily going to be true. But I think there's, at the moment, a big change in the ward in that we have far fewer people with a broad-based community interest, social concern. As somebody put it, we have a group of consumer representatives. They're people who've never gone beyond representing their own communities. And we're getting much more pulling, that's not true of all of them by any means, and we've got excellent leadership from Mr. Brown right now. He does see an open